Hate is loud, but I think you'll learn it's because it's only a few people shouting, desperate to be heard. You might not ever be able to change their minds, but so long as you remember you're not alone, you will overcome.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are bringing you all of the internet's most popular books and letting you know whether or not you should take time out of your busy schedule to give them a read. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Catherine. And this week we are tackling probably one of the most wholesome books of the 2020s. It is The House in the Cerulean Sea by T.J. Clune. And it was a pandemic era book that focuses on a semi-magical world full of magical beings. And it follows a social worker, caseworker of said magical children in a society that is not as welcoming as it should be to these children. And he gets tasked with a very top secret case where he has to leave the city to go to a remote corner of the world, to a house in the Cerulean Sea, and decide whether or not that orphanage, as they're called, should stay open. And he meets these characters and the plot ensues.
Yes, it's a very sweet, it's a sweet one, a sweetum.
Quirky and cute.
Yeah, a bit of a vibe shift from our normal hardcore dystopian fantasy.
But, this is how we're gearing up for spooky season.
Yeah.
We're going to be a little wholesome before we dive into the gory.
Okay, so do you guys have reviews for the internet?
Sure do. I found a 4-star on StoryGraph that says, this book was magical. Sure, it's a cliche and it's like a unicorn vomited rainbows onto the pages, but I wouldn't ask for it any other way.
Cute.
That is indeed true.
Yes, it is.
I have a 5-star review as well. A higher review as well. 5-star review, and it's from Goodreads, and it says, this book made me cry over a button, so clearly it's 5 stars.
That's a good one.
I think my favorite character, honestly.
Yes.
Yes, also. Okay. So I went for one of the lower star reviews, and I'm just going to read the first sentence because that was the funny part. It's 2 stars. It said, apparently I must be dead inside because I did not get, quote, all the feels. I said, yeah, I think you might be.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, overall, the Goodreads rating for this book is 4.4 out of 5. The StoryGraph rating is 4.5 out of 5. So, pretty highly rated. What'd you guys think?
I agree and gave it 5 stars because it is such a wholesome book. I was debating between a 4 and 5 star just because of pacing things. But then I tried to think back on anything I had to critique it on and I couldn't think of it. So it was 5 stars.
5 stars from me also. This book is a warm hug.
Yeah.
I saw T.J. Clune speak several months ago and just hadn't got around to reading his books, even though I've wanted to for a long time. And that man is the funniest, most wholesome man that was the best author talk I've ever been to. It was so good. He had the whole place laughing. The audience members felt so comfortable. They had everyone laughing. And then I read the book and I was like, yeah, that tracks. It's cute. It's whimsical. It's full of life lessons. They're pretty heavy-handed, which some reviews did not like, but I feel like that's the entire point. So
sometimes you got to hit people upside the head.
The people who need to hear those messages probably aren't reading this book, but whatever.
Right.
It'd be an excellent book to read with your, like, elementary kid at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would be really good. Yeah, I think of this book as sort of like a children's book for adults, because it's very obvious in the way that children's books are, but there wasn't really anything wrong with it. It was just kind of a sweet story. I gave it 4.5 stars. So
close.
So close, right there. I did think there were some pacing issues. Sometimes I did think the moralistic lessons were like a little heavy-handed and a little repetitive, where I was like, all right, you've accomplished your goal here. We don't need to keep harping on this point. And some of the scenes were a little too cheesy for me. However, I did think overall it was a great read. I absolutely loved the characters, and I just really enjoyed this book. I mean, it's such a sweet story.
Well, let's get into our discussions, this non-spoiler versions. What did you guys think? More plot or character driven?
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm like,
It's a hard one.
A little of both.
I mean, okay. I think plot overall. However, at the end, I'm going to go plot, because the character really doesn't take charge of anything until the end. However, the development of the plot largely is just like him growing as a person. But I still think it's plot. It's tricky, though, because there is like so much character development in this book.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the plot is that this guy has to investigate basically this foster home. And so he has to make a determination to the board. And so that's the plot, is him deciding what his determination will be. But his determination is so influenced by his character development along the way and his journey to, you know, busting out of his shell. So there's a lot of both along the way.
Yes. Good old Linus with his spare tire. it's plot driven with a lot of character development. So I agree.
Have you or would you read other books by the author?
I have not, but I'm curious if Caitlin has, because you saw him in person.
Yeah, I haven't yet, but I have 3 others on my shelf.
Oh my God.
Mostly signed from the event. I have the follow-up to this book on my shelf. I have Under the Whispering Door on my shelf, and I have The Bones Beneath My Skin on my shelf to read. However, he did say if he wanted to read the one that was like the most him in the book, I believe it was The Secret Lives of Puppets.
Hmm. Very interesting. This book does have more a follow-up book. It has a second book. But honestly, don't know if I'll read it, because this book was so sweet and had such a perfect ending that I feel like I just don't want to ruin it. I just kind of want to let the characters be there where they're left off and then not read anything else.
I do worry about continuing the story, because it was so wrapped up into a neat little bow.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, sequels always scare me a bit. So when I found out that there was a continuing book, I was like, ooh, are we sure about that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I would love this. Okay, this is almost jumping ahead to another question. This gives me Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends vibes. You remember that cartoon?
Yes.
Like, this would be such a cute, like, cartoon with the orphans. Oh my gosh. Or like a Tim Burton style movie. It'd be so cute.
Yes, Tim Burton, period.
So like, I want to, while the ending is wrapped up really nicely, I am so in love with specifically the kids that I want to see more from them.
Yeah, this does actually almost give me like Nightmare Before Christmas vibes, because it's like supposed to be a horror story because they're supposed to be these monsters, but it's actually kind of just like a heartwarming story about someone in their family.
Yeah.
Okay. So how was the pacing in the book? I already kind of mentioned, and Catherine also kind of mentioned the pacing. How long did it take you guys to read?
I mean, yeah, full disclosure, this is the only thing negative I have to say about the book, because y'all know I read really, really fast and I normally can get through books and breeze through them very, very quickly. This took me a week to read, and it's not because I didn't enjoy it. It was just because it's a slow read, despite it being like so wholesome and so like easy. I've never had a book where I felt like I was like reading slower than my normal pace. Like I was like truly absorbing everything, which is a good thing, but it did take me a fair amount of time to read it for me. Obviously, I'm a psychopath, so a week might not seem long, but that's long for me.
Nah, I read this in like two or three sittings. I don't know. It was so cute. And even though at times it was kind of slow, like it was so funny that I never felt like the slowness. Like sometimes the plot slowed down, but it never felt slow because of the humor in the book and the cute little lessons. So I have no issues with the pacing.
I had a few issues. I felt kind of like Catherine. I don't think the book took me a super long time to read. I think it probably took me 4 days. So I was always interested in reading it and picking it back up. Like, I definitely wanted to keep being in the story. But there was a part sort of like at the end of the middle, beginning of the end, where I was kind of like, okay, it's time to wrap it up. Like, I need this to kind of come to its conclusion now. And it does kind of stretch on at the end, I think, where I was like, we know what's coming. We know what's going to happen. It just felt like there was additional scenes that could have been cut to me to just kind of get to the end and get to the heartwarming finale. But I didn't think it was too much of a drag on the entire book. However, I would have been more annoyed by the ending if I didn't love the lead up to it so much. So, yeah.
We kind of jumped ahead on this one, but would you watch a movie or TV show of this book?
Yes.
This would be the cutest movie. Like, so
it would be such a cute.
Or like one of those where you do a big movie and then you follow it up with like a cartoon series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do think it would be really adorable.
I really just need to see Chauncey on screen.
Yes.
Chauncey. Yes.
I can't totally imagine him. And so I really want to see what the imagination of a creator would.
I feel like I was imagining. Have you seen Hotel Transylvania?
Yes.
No, I haven't.
The blob. Blobby.
Yes, Blobby.
That's sort of what I was half picturing. I don't know.
I was picturing kind of like a slug from a very specific animated film, and I'm forgetting the name of it.
But then they were like part jellyfish, and I was like,
so he's translucent,
not mathing in my head.
Yeah. So do you guys remember the movie Monsters versus Aliens?
Yes.
Oh,
it was loosely. A Pixar movie.
Yeah.
I was imagining Bob, B-O-B, alien, who is like this giant blue translucent blob.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Except with stick out eyes.
Yes. Yes, exactly. But with like snail antenna eyes. So that's what I was picturing.
The more vibe to what I was picturing.
Also, Chauncey is just a perfect name for a bellhop.
It's so cute. I can't. Chauncey. I want you to see a little hat between his eyeballs. People are probably listening like, what?
Yeah. If you haven't read the book, none of this makes sense. But Chauncey was my favorite character and made me laugh out loud so many times. So anyway, I think the short answer is yes. We would all watch a movie or a TV show of the book.
You'd be so cute. Please. I agree. I think Tim Burton could do a really good job of this.
I just think specifically like the beginning when you get to know the main character Linus. When it's all these little row homes and these perfectly aligned desks and the mean lady and he's just like this guy. I feel like doing that in like black and white, Tim Burton-esque. That's what the vibe I got.
Just like a really good job.
The way it, I don't know, just like overemphasized the like mundaneness of adult life.
Yeah. And then also the kind of macabre sensibilities of the children, even though they're really sweet kids in their heart, they have this kind of like dark humor to them. And that feels very Tim Burton to me, too, to kind of mix wholesome with dark.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, obviously, we all are like begging Tim Burton to take this on. Do you guys have your Busy Girl rating?
Yeah, I'm going to knock down my quality rating to a 4 for the Busy Girl rating, because I do think that the pacing can drag on for a bit. But I still highly recommend this book, so I can't knock it down any further. So 4 stars.
I mean, I said I had no issues with the pacing, so 5 stars for me. Everyone should read it.
So despite the fact that I did have a few issues, I think I'm also going to give it a Busy Girl 5. One of the reasons being that, A, this book is very unique, even within the sort of monster foster home genre, which for some reason is its own genre. I feel like it's very unique. And I also feel like it's a crowd pleaser. Like, I think I would recommend this book to almost every reader I know in comparison to some of the genre books that we do, which are more niche for people's interests and preferences. I think this one is, yeah, would be a book I think that would cross a lot of different interest groups. So I think it's a 5.
Yay.
Well, that brings us to our spoiler alert section. So I do think you should go into the book blind if you haven't read it. You shouldn't know the stuff beforehand, because there's so much wholesomeness and fun and kind of being on the journey with Linus. So drop the podcast, read the book, and then come back and then listen to us discuss what happens. So yeah, spoiler alert section beginning. What did you think of the narrator, main character, Linus? He's a male main character, which is a little different for us. And he's also a grown-up. He's an adult man. He's like 50 years old. And we read a lot of sort of like teen, young adult narrators. So what'd you guys think?
Wholesome, but at times annoying, which I think was the point.
Yeah.
He's like an extreme rule follower who's very passionate about work others find menial, which it underscores how important that is in the book. But he's essentially like a stick in the mud, like kind of dull, annoyingly follows the rules. That's what I mean by annoying, and like tries to continue to like shut down his emotion. But he's like the hero we needed in the book.
Mm-hmm. He kind of reminds me of just an NPC in a video game. He's walking along. He's doing nothing unique. It was interesting starting his perspective, and he was just like, I'm balding, I'm fat, and I go to work every day, and then I come home to my monogram PJs and listen to old records. And I'm just like, who is this guy?
With his cat.
With his cat, yeah. Calliope, who doesn't like him, and it's quite obvious.
Yeah. Which is also so funny and so me. It's so honest, which I think I love about it.
Yeah. He's not like your hero, your everyday average hero.
Right. I think for me, I really, really liked Linus because I think the author did a really good job of like showing the sort of beauty in the mundane and the beauty in who Linus was and how like good, ordinary, regular people can be, but also how bad it can be when people shut themselves down and stop engaging in the rest of the world and stop taking full responsibility for their role in the greater scheme of things. And so I liked that because Linus was a really good person and he was just doing his own thing. Like, he was not trying to do more than his tiny amount of responsibility, even though these children really needed him to do a little bit more. So I liked that the book was sort of like who and what Linus is and what he's doing is beautiful, but also like we need more from people like this because, you know, that's how the world changes. So I thought that kind of arc of his was really well done and also very relatable, because I think many adults eventually kind of fall into this rut of habit and just kind of doing their thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's very much so like his character arc is just masterfully done. Because you can tell he's a good person, and so you can give him the benefit of the doubt for being such a bystander to discrimination and a bystander to the society and the working for kind of what you could describe as a morally gray, morally black company that mm-hmm. is really not taking the best interest of the children they're supposed to, but they're not. So you forgive him a bit because he is truly like one of the good guys and is like never really lying. He's always doing his part, and he doesn't embellish anything, which also could be his detriment because like he knows that these kids need help and they need like structure. And he learns throughout his time with the children and stuff like that, and not to like judge a book by its cover. So it's very interesting to see this like NPC character get literally thrust out of his comfort zone into like a world full of technicolor. And that I love those like descriptions of him on the train where it's just like it's been raining for like 2 hours and then suddenly the rain stops and then the sky comes out and then the sun comes out and it's like all like the colors are more vibrant suddenly. And I loved that description because it's like him stepping out of his like gray, black and white life and stepping into a more complex and nuanced take.
Yes. The thing that was annoying for me about him was how head in the sand he was sometimes.
Yes.
Because he was like, I'm not a bad person. Like, these children deserve protection. They deserve love. They deserve kindness. And he's like totally not seeing how so many people around him are not treating their job the same way.
Yeah.
And I was like, how could you not see that? Like, that part, I was kind of like, I just wanted to shake him.
I was like, yeah. You're surprising people by doing your job. He's just so sad that everybody is doing what they should do mm-hmm. that he has no idea.
Right. Because he's doing what he should do. And he just assumes everyone else is doing what they should do too.
Right.
And he gets educated. Okay. So what did you think of the world? Catherine kind of mentioned there's this gray sort of cookie cutter city, which Linus does not have a lot of emotional attachment to, but it's where his job is. And then there's this beautiful, vibrant ocean town where the foster home is. And then there's all these magical children. So magic in the world exists, but magical beings are discriminated against and have to register. And many magical children don't have parents. So there's like a foster home system for them. And then Linus works at this organization called Dacomi, which basically runs these foster homes. And I will say, calling the management of Dacomi extremely upper management was so funny. I was like, that's exactly what large bureaucracies are like. Is there's this group of like five people at the top who you never see.
them sitting on that like wall looking down on him.
And then the lights go on.
That's why I'm like, we need a movie.
Yeah.
It's too real. It's real.
Almost like Despicable Me-esque. Like that's kind of how I felt about it, where there's this sort of grand villainous things happening, but it's like kind of cute and funny the way that it all happens. Yes. Yeah. I thought it was realistic. I thought the portrayal of bureaucracy in the book was really creative and also extremely like hit the nail on the head.
I loved when he called out like, you know, like those holiday parties that you're forced to do at work. And like, yeah, I ate the really gross mashed potatoes. And then it's like, I don't have a choice. I have to go and eat this gross ham and eat this stuff with extremely upper management while they smile and pretend as if they care about us. And this is their contribution to us. And I'm like, just give them checks. You don't doing this. This is too much. But it's every job does that. They do.
But he's such a good person. He's like, this sucks, but they're nice to do this.
Yeah. He's trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, which is crazy because they don't deserve it. And he just doesn't realize it. He's so afraid of authority that he thinks that like they walked on the moon or like just walk on water.
Yeah. And also the little shitty company gifts, like the monogram pajamas. I was like, yes.
Also, I love that a lot of the story stems from his mouse pad. He's never seen the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, the refrain is, wish you were here. And finally, he's like, I am here. Why am I going back?
Yeah. I also really liked the way magic was structured in the book. So it's not just like some people have magic. It's also like magical creatures are real. And so when he goes to this foster home, these are like, quote unquote, you know, the foster home he's seeing is like the most dangerous, rare children who like Chauncey, they don't even really know what Chauncey is. He's just not human and they don't really understand how he's alive. And of course, Lucifer, Lucy, the devil, the devil's the son, the Antichrist.
That was the best reveal.
Yeah, I was like, you what now?
I was laughing so hard. Oh.
Yep.
And then he passes out from that information.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that was so funny.
Yeah.
They're like, Lucy. Lucy is a boy. Lucy is the Antichrist.
Short for Lucifer.
She's like 6 years old, loves the same music as Linus, but says all these things that you're like, oh my God.
Like, right. I will like flay your skin and burn you alive and make your insides outsides. Like, it was just like, okay.
But then he's quoting like Kant or whatever with Arthur and you're like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. How he actually just like loves philosophy.
Yeah.
No, like, alternative portrayals of the devil where the devil is more complex than, you know, our kind of binary good evil typical portrayal is shown. That's like one of my niche literary interests. I love reimaginings of the devil. And so I loved Lucy so much because I was like, yeah, he's complicated. He has the power to do terrible things, but that doesn't mean he wants to do terrible things. He's more so like interested in death, and there's beauty in death too, like in the life cycle and of things starting anew. And so I was like, oh, and it's so cute to imagine this tiny little six-year-old just being like, I'm the harbinger of death.
Well, and the like case in point that he like keeps beating us over the head with is he's a child. Mm-hmm. Children are so malleable and so impressionable that if you raise them up right and you raise them up in a good, loving household, who's to say that Lucy would ever be the
Antichrist? Which I think is one of the other major points it's trying to get at.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So what did you guys think of the cadre of children? There's the gnome girl who is so rare because gnomes are always a men and she's a woman.
Talia.
And a sprite who's basically learning to take over the island. And Chauncey, bellhop in training, who's just a blob. Okay,
this is where you said the thing about buttons. Theodore is my favorite.
Theodore.
Sal is also up there, but.
Yeah, I love Sal that turns into a Pomeranian whenever he's scared.
Yeah.
You get some good lessons from Sal, but Theodore and his buttons. And when he gives the button back to Linus after he shows him his hoard, I was like, no. He doesn't even speak words, but no.
Did y'all cry?
No.
No, I didn't cry.
But it squeezed my heart real good.
I didn't cry either, but like I'm the crier of the group, so I wanted to see.
No, the buttons were.
No animals died. We're good.
Yeah.
But. Yeah. When he gave him the button, it was so, oh.
So sweet.
I felt it in my chest.
I remember, go ahead, Catherine.
I will say, I love Theodore, but Talia is my favorite because the
little that girl, tracks for you.
She is so sarcastic and so ridiculous and like basically eggs on Lucy to say these crazy outlandish things. And they're both like, Talia's like, I'll go grab my shovel so we can like hit him over the head and then I'll bury him. And I'm like, You're it.
Right. Which also makes so much sense because gnomes, her thing is gardening and death and fertilizer and fungi and the life cycle is a huge part of gardening and natural gardens. So they really bonded over there. Their love of incorporating death, healthy death into the scene. But no, the button scenes were some of the funniest and most heartwarming. Like, I remember very clearly the scene where Linus gives him the button. And then the Arthur tells him about how excited he was about it and how Theodore was like so in love with this button and was like holding it under his couch because it was like his most favorite possession. And I was like,
oh, well, and then you see what else is in his hoard. You picture like little golden things, but no, it's like pieces of everybody he loves under there in his hoard. And then you understand, like, he's my favorite.
Also Trax.
Is Chauncey your favorite, or is Lucy your favorite, Casey?
Chauncey is my favorite. He just made me laugh so much. But Lucy was probably my second favorite. I love them all, though. It's so hard to choose two, because also I loved Theodore. And also I did love the Sprite girl, because she was so mean.
I think in real life, you are a fee, maybe a little bit.
Yeah. I agree with that statement.
A little bit badass, not taking shit.
Loves plants.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you. I'm so flattered by that. I loved her. She's not in the book as much as some of the other kids.
Her purpose is to show, you know, none of the other kids in other orphanages have someone like them to show them the world. Mm-hmm. And the point is, like, how important it is for kids to see adults like them. Mm-hmm.
Right. And how good that was for her that she got to grow her powers and control her powers with someone who could actually mentor her.
Well, and then her backstory is very, very sad that her parents died in front of her. And then people tried to take their bodies and she turned the men into trees. And that's why she's considered dangerous. And it's like, no, like, you starved her and her parents died. She was reacting as a child would to the death of her parents and the people who did it to them.
Right.
It's like, I work in education now. So there's a lot of research on like how kids of color seeing a teacher that looks like them, even if they only have like one throughout their educational career, that person is going to mean so much to them because it shows them like they can see themselves in that role and they're learning from someone who looks like them. And there's so much research on how important that is.
Right. I also think, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting his name all of a sudden. Sid, the Pomeranian.
Sal,
there we go. How he turns into a Pomeranian when he's scared and then he bit someone. And they're like, well, yeah, this woman was going to hit him. Like, why is he the one?
Yeah. She did hit him, yeah.
Why is he the one being punished? Like, what do you expect a child to do when, you know, they're not being taken care of?
Well, then also, like, same thing happens with dogs. Like, a lot of, like, angry and, like, frustrated dogs, or a lot of dogs that are scared, lash out and they bite. That's why when you give a dog love and you don't, like, overhype things, or, like, as long as you remain calm, you are going to be fine with a dog. Dogs are not inherently, like, evil or, like, bitey or will bite you. That's not their, like, that's not their programming, almost. Like, they'll bite you if you're the instigator of that.
Okay. So a big part of like the lessons in the book is the townspeople, because Arthur has really protected the children because he knows that the townspeople have this discriminatory view of the children. There are townspeople who really don't want the foster home to be based on their island. And they can be really nasty. And so, but also there's this kind of push and pull, which is pointed out in the book because, and Linus points it out, is you also, these children have to grow up and go into society, no matter what society looks like. And so they do this whole thing. They take the children out into town and the townspeople kind of have to deal with them. And it becomes a contentious issue in amongst the townspeople. So what did you guys think of all that?
I mean, the most wholesome was Chauncey getting the bellhop hat.
Yeah. Yes.
The elderly bellhop giving him the hat.
Yeah. I liked Talia's interaction.
With Helen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How convenient that she was the mayor and she's the one person who like doesn't hate them. But then you find out because she knew Arthur growing up. But so like without Helen, I don't know how it would have gone. Like Helen was kind of the character that saved the butts. But
yeah,
her interaction when she's like appalled and then she's like, wait, you have the most beautiful garden I've ever seen. Like, you can learn. She realizes she can learn from other, like, from these kids.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by Lucy meeting the pothead in the record store.
That was great. J-Bone.
J-Bone. Yeah. I did. But, this is the part that veered a little too cheesy for me at some part.
It was really cheesy.
It was real.
Yeah. Because the mayor is just like, no, I'm going to fight for you. And we're going to turn this town around. And it's... At a certain point, it does become like
that's why I was like, it's a little too easy right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a little too Hallmark movie. Just like, we're going to save the city. But, you know, I'm glad that the kids found a place where they could fit in and that the town made space for them. I think it's unfortunate, but true that that kind of discrimination often gets worse when things are left to the imagination. I think discriminatory figures often prey on people that others may not have a lot of one-on-one experience with, you know, kind of preying on groups of people that you don't know and where it's easy to lie about them and the things that they can or can't do. So I think that's very realistic for how discrimination works in the real world. And so I think sometimes you do have to just kind of make your place and then just be there and let people get used to you.
Yeah. I mean, Helen was a little too easy. It was like a very quick 180. But at the same time, like, I'm glad Linus had that conversation with her where he's like, why now? Like, these kids have existed for years. And obviously she knew Arthur, who turned out to be magical. And so, like, why did you decide now suddenly to do it? She's like, one conversation changed my mind. And yes, that's a little too fantastical to think about. But at the same time, like, one conversation with someone that's different than you can truly open your mind and allow you to debunk some of your prejudices. So it's not incorrect. It's a little sped up. But I did appreciate Helen being who she was. And I appreciated how she stood up to her nephew who was pretending to be injured and, like, was trying to exorcise Lucy, which was crazy. Because how do you exorcise the Antichrist? You did not think that through, buddy. Yeah.
Yeah. They talk about it in the book. Like, it just takes one person and then another person. And so they just have to start somewhere. And yeah, it's a fantasy book. It's happy ending. So
right.
And also the children in the town had no issues. They were like,
children are what we teach them.
Right.
And adults are afraid of the unknown.
Yeah.
There's so many little lessons in here.
Children do not come into the world with prejudices. They are taught prejudices.
Yep. Right. Okay.
Even the Antichrist.
Even the Antichrist.
Even the Antichrist didn't have any prejudices.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so ultimately, Arthur and Linus have a love story. They fall in love. What did you guys think of that?
It's so cute. I loved their moment in the cellar when he realizes truly that Arthur is a phoenix, which is a crazy thing to be.
I figured that out earlier.
Yeah, I mean, like, we all knew
he was kind of obvious. Yeah.
I didn't know.
I once knew a phoenix, and then there was a flash of light. I was like, huh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was quite obvious. Obviously, this is like a YA kind of book, children friendly book. Mm-hmm. So sometimes things are really, really obvious. And we read a lot of books where things are not very obvious. So we're very good at detectives at this point. But I love their scene in the cellar where, like, they talk truthfully for once, like the masks are off. Everyone knows everything. And Linus doesn't run away. And he, like, actually, like, sits with that information and decides, instead of being mad about it, he was going to accept it and embrace it and tell Arthur what he needed to hear. That's like, your children need to know that you are what you are, because you can't keep hiding this from them. Like, they can learn from you and your experience as a magical being in a not magical world.
Right. He's trying to give them the safe place he didn't have. But hiding himself is not the way to go about it. And it takes bump on a log, Linus, to teach him that. I got kind of the ick knowing that Arthur had fallen in love with two caseworkers.
Yeah.
Charles. I don't think we needed that other part, but
that was weird.
Charles was jealous. He was jealous as fuck.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. It was a cute little romance. That was weird, but otherwise, that was a jam.
It was cute. I did feel like kind of a Grinch, though, because I just didn't totally get their chemistry.
Their chemistry was the children.
Yeah, which felt a little bit weird to me. I was like, that didn't really totally feel like an adult relationship to me. It felt very like, I don't know. Like reading it as an adult, this book is very like children's book-ish, and it was hard for me to buy into the romance because even the romance was very children's book-ish. Yes.
There wasn't a lot of depth to it.
Well, and I feel like some of it we get off scene, like they're talking about philosophy after they mm-hmm. watch Lucy's session. And I think some of it too is they fall in love with how they see them treat other people.
Yeah.
So yeah, you don't get a lot of the chemistry, but you like see how what they see in each other.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't get like any cute handholdy kissy stuff
or sticky anything.
Yeah. Okay. So then there's the ending. Linus, like, mic drops inside Dacomi. He's like, no, you people have it wrong. You're fucking shit up. And then he goes back to the foster home, and they also kind of stand up to the townspeople, and it's this whole thing. What'd you guys think of that?
I appreciated, like, we all knew what was going to happen. But I appreciated that when he went back to the island, it wasn't just like, oh my gosh, you're back. Yay. Yeah. Like, they were wary, even the kids, because they've been through so much.
Mm-hmm.
And like, Talia had stipulations like, well, if you help me with this and this, you know, like, I liked that it wasn't easy. I mean, it still was easy. Like I said, fantasy book. Mm-hmm. But like, leaving had some repercussions. Coming back took work. And once they realized that he left only to protect them, that helped.
Right.
He had to prove himself, which is fair because he's the one that left. And these are kids that have been left. They don't have any parents. It's an orphanage, which that name is then changed. They call it a home, finally, even though that's what the government keeps calling them as orphanages. And that's what Linus was like. These are the homes for these kids because they don't get adopted. No one gets adopted in this situation.
Well, and then he's like doing a tell all with a journalist.
Yeah. And he steals all the casework files. I was like, what are you going to do with those? I was very confused, like why you were stealing other people's casework files. But then like he was like, it was to do an expose on the school system. And yeah.
Yeah. He was putting in an anonymous tip. I was hoping he was just going to like figure out where all those kids were and like get this little menagerie of kids, which in the end, the epilogue. Oh, so cute. You get the epilogue where they. Everything's great. They are in love on the island. The kids love him. They, you know, all the happy things are happening. And they are talking about adopting the kids,
mm-hmm.
which in my brain, I hope that happens. But then they're kind of like, but both our names will be on there as parents. And Lucy's like, they're getting married.
Well, because Arthur's so cute. Why don't we?
It was crazy. It was a crazy way to go about it. But yeah. It was cute. And the kids are happy. And then, like, they're going to get
a Yeti.
And I'm like, yeah, collect all the little weirdos. I want the cartoon.
Well, I'm glad that they pointed out the Yeti might not feel comfortable in this climate. Because I was like, aren't Yetis in, like, mountains?
Yeah. And they're like, we'll repurpose the cellar.
It's a cold room.
Like before they hadn't even said yes. And Linus was like, how do we make this work?
Yeah. Linus.
And I think that's why Arthur loves him so much.
Yeah.
Right.
I will say the idea that Lucy can eavesdrop on everything is kind of crazy. And I know that this is like my adult brain that it shouldn't have gone to this, but they mentioned that they're sleeping in the same bedroom and that bedroom is connected to Lucy's room.
So as a mandated reporter, there were a few red flags in this.
Yeah,
book. I was like that being one of them. The other when he hands him Sal and sends him into the bathroom with him. Not allowed.
Right.
Sorry, yeah. But that's my PR education. Don't let teachers do creepy things.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, there were some things. And that's part of why I think the romance was hard for me to swallow, because I was like, how could you possibly have an adult relationship with these children around? Like,
Lucy's literally
in your closet. Yeah.
Yes. Well, then we kind of, I think they say at the end that the forest nymph woman, I forget her name, takes the children and does sleepovers, basically so that Linus and Arthur can be alone. And I was like, oh my God.
But can Lucy still overhear it? That's my thought, is immediately that's what that goes to.
I don't know. From her house, maybe not.
Who knows? I choose not to answer that question.
That's fair.
All right. Well, the next book is from Arthur's point of view. What do you guys think about that? I know I probably won't read it, but even though I liked it.
I'm lightly intrigued. It's not top of my list.
But it's on your bookshelf.
Yeah, because I got it signed.
That's nice. You should read it then.
It's a signed pair.
Yeah, that is pretty nice.
I have three signed by him, because The Bones Beneath My Skin is what the event was for, his newer book. But I picked up these two also. Yeah. Shout out to Rainy Day Books in Kansas City area. They host the best author events.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I might read it. I'm very hesitant and concerned because sequels have burned me very bad. And it was just such a beautiful ending. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, I think that's it, really. Do you guys have book recommendations?
Yes, I have one. And it made me think of, because the book I'm about to recommend also has a movie by Tim Burton, Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
Yes.
Vibes. Yeah. I read it like in middle school, I think. So it's been a very long while, but very similar vibes. It made me think of it immediately. And then I was like, I'm pretty sure that's a movie, and I'm pretty sure Tim Burton directed it. And lo and behold, he did. So Tim Burton, direct this movie.
I have a book. I'm like 90% done with this book. I'm not done with it, but the vibes are the same. It is called Impossible Creatures. I've read a nonfiction book by this author called Vanishing Treasures, about like endangered animals, disappearing species, and how it affects us. Impossible Creatures is sort of a like middle grade book, essentially talking about like protecting, you know, the earth and the animals, but it's like this whimsical, magical adventure with this found family. And it's very much like one of you said earlier, like a kid's book written for adults. Also, I put it down recently because I did start to cry. This book it's murdering me. Anyway, but similar vibes. And I already know I like it, even though I haven't got to the end. So
nice. I'm going to go. I don't read a lot of books like this. I honestly don't think there are a lot of books like this. So I'm going to take a little bit of a left turn, and I'm going to recommend Project Hail Mary.
That is the leftist of left turns, Casey.
Yeah. The reason is it doesn't have anything to do with children or magic, but it has a similarly sort of aloof, nice guy doing his thing, main character, getting pushed out of his comfort zone. And then, you know, he meets an alien, so not a foster child, but there is a relationship in the book. And the main characters to me have like similar vibes.
A little bit whimsical.
Yeah. Some whimsical guys who get roped into a whole thing. Yeah. So I think that's it. I mean, these are just our opinions. We love to hear from our listeners. Send us books you want us to read. Tell us what you think of the episodes. You can do that at Busy Girls Pod pretty much everywhere. And please give us a rating and a review.
Yeah. And with that, I'm Catherine.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Caitlin. Thanks for listening, and when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.